Okay, so that'll be Mir Tzashem, that will be the last year, because I think the Thursday after that, I'm already going to, I'm going to be in the States for a week. So I think we'll, that, so maybe next week we'll go out of sync, and we'll do a one shir on a Pesach in here. Okay, this week Be'ezer Hashem is Emir Tzashem.
I think Ravaran is going to share next Thursday.
Oh, wow. Okay,
so maybe there is going to give another room, or
no, for sure not.
10 o'clock.
Ravaran's Ravaran's saying sure, so we'll
because it's
in Nitcha. Yeah, Ravaran's saying sure, there's nothing.
It's also still brand
new. Some Ravaran's going to give the votes as well.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah. Let's figure out better.
How is that thing? Give it right after Shkia. Second after Grozman and Shkia. Okay. Be'ezer Hashem, this week I'd like to discuss some nekudas in the mitzvah of Binyan HaMikdash. And I'd like to start off with quite a few tzorachiyuns, some of them basic in the Chumash themselves. In the structure of the parshios that we have of Truma, Tetzaveh, and so on through Vayakal and Tekudei, and also ask some questions in the Rambam. After that, try to see a yisod that our great Rabbeim developed, see how it applies, and then see some basic Musar and Chasidus that I think is directly connected to it. Yes, our Rabbeim. In Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan and the Maseret of Brisk also said he says they are connected in Chassidus as well. First of all, Tzarechiyun number one. If you take a look at the parshas of the Mikdash, so of course many are preoccupied. Many of the darshanim are preoccupied. Why the repetition? Why is it that you have in Truma all the way through Vayakal Pekudei? Why is there a need for so much repetition? What's the need for all of the arichus? Secondly, Rashi al Torah has a very famous comment in regards to a nuance in the construction of Bezalel. When Bezalel constructs in Parshas Pekudei the Migdash, so there Rashi points out that Bezalel actually changed the construction. The Torah describes to us in the beginning of Parshas Truma the Aron is coming first. And yet, with all the kalim that follow, and then we have the krushim and so on, yet, in Parshas Pekudei, the opposite takes place. In Parshas Pekudei, so there the Torah has Bezalel constructing first the structure, and then afterwards come the Klei HaMikdash. So Rashi stops at this, and Rashi says in the beginning of Pekudei, Rashi says, no. Bezalel was just thinking like an architect, even though the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzaveh, the Aron first, and then all the other kalim, and then the structure. Bezalel thought as an architect. And as an architect, of course, when anybody builds a structure, so first you build the structure, and then you put the desk and the chairs inside. You don't put the desk and chairs, and then you build walls around it. That's just not done. So therefore, Bezalel was doing it in that order. So Tzarech Iyun number two, aside from just all that, why all that richus of a Yaakov Pekudei? Why is it then that the Torah in Parshas Truma gives us the Aron and all the Kalim first? If the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon was to do it in such a manner that the Bezalel should first construct the outside and then build it with the Kalim inside, why is it that the order is inverted in the beginning of Parshas Truma? Thirdly, Akasha, which we will leave off to the end, which is the tenet of a lot of Chassidus, as well as Rav Rosenzweig's Drasha this past Matzai Shabbos at the YU Malav Malka with 600 Talmidim. And that is, what exactly is, Rav Rosenzweig, I might have asked in a slightly different way. Actually, I went over to Rav Rosenzweig afterwards as we were dancing Shirim Aleph, so I was standing next to him, and I said to him, Rebbe, a great Rebbe, I said to him, you realize that what you just said is a sicha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The mahalach that you just said is a sicha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He said, really? He said, yeah. It's Mashiach's. Some people say it's Mashiach's time. A great Talmud Chacham who learned in the Gush saying the same say as the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but it's Mir Tzeshem it is. But to me, it's not surprising at all. It's not surprising at all because they're really the same Yisodos. And the question that many Darshanim, and particularly in Hasidus, that many are bothered by, is why is it that Bezalel is given such credit as being described as being Mole, Chachma, Bina, and Das? Das being ultimate Ruach HaKodesh, if according to Rashi he's just an architect, if that's the Cheshbon of Bezalel, so then what's this Gadlus of Chachma, Bina, Das? That requires Haracha in of itself, both Haracha with an Aleph as well as with an Ayin. We need to be able to understand what is the Chachma, Bina, Das, and Bezalel. So that's Tzarech Iyun number 3. Number 4, I'd like to begin to get into the Lashonis of the Rishonim themselves. We'll list off Be'ezer Hashem 5 or 6 Tzarech Iyuns. And in the Lashonis of the Rishonim, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, in Mitzvah Chaf, the Rambam gives us the mitzvah of the construction of the Migdash. And the Rambam's famous words are, this is going to be the Migdash that you're going to go to. And the Rambam says, ukvar biyarnu, skipping a few lines, included in this tzivui is all of the kelim. So the Rambam says in Mitzvah Chaf, we include all the kelim in this mitzvah of constructing the Mikdash. Don't count the mitzvah asiyas menorah as a separate mitzvah. The Rambam says, included in all of this, mitzvah is the asiyas hakelim. I don't know if this is my diuk. I think one of my friends from yeshiva, who's now a Rebbe, Rav Tani Kahn, I think made this diuk in the Rambam. It's interesting that the Rambam misses something in describing the Migdash over here. He mentions the mitzvah of Asiyas HaMigdash, but Tzarech Iyun number 4 is why does the Rambam not mention, is that we're up to number 4? Why does the Rambam not mention the Aron? The Aron is missing, entirely missing. The Aron is not here. Now the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. The Ramban says, the Rambam is wrong by saying that all the kelim are included in the mitzvah of Asiyas HaMikdash. The Ramban says, however, I didn't count it myself as separate mitzvahs. This is the Ramban in his Asagos HaMitzvah Chav. The Ramban says, because, well, you have the mitzvah of Lechem Aponim. And if you have the mitzvah of Lechem Aponim, and in the mitzvah of Lechem Aponim, you need a shulchan, so you don't need two mitzvahs. The mitzvah of shulchan and the mitzvah of putting Lechem Aponim. Included in the mitzvah of Lechem Aponim is shulchan. Continues the Ramban, and here's the interesting Nakuda, but I'm cholik on the Rambam on one kli. On one kli, says the Ramban on the Hasagas, not only is it included in something else, when we talk about Shulchan or Menorah, the halach of Vata Titzava, halach of HaMenorah, however, says the Ramban, Aron has no purpose. Quote unquote. Aron doesn't serve in any particular Maisa Mitzvah. And since the Aron doesn't have a particular role, the Rambam did miss one kli. And the one kli the Rambam missed was Asiyas HaAron. So Tzarech Iyun number five is, what exactly is this machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether you do count the Aron or you don't count the Aron? Tzarech Iyun number 4 is, why did the Rambam not even mention Aron at all? Number 5 is, what exactly is this machlokus? The Ramban says, if it doesn't serve a purpose, therefore you count. And what does the Rambam hold? How does the Rambam respond to the Ramban? Yes, Natan.
The Ramban would want the Aron to count as a separate mitzvah?
Yes. The Ramban himself says that you should count Aron as a separate mitzvah. Finally, Tzarech Iyun number 6. Is the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira Perek Dalid. The Rambam in Beis HaBechira Perek Dalid starts off introducing the Aron in a very, very different way than the way the Rambam describes the mitzvah of, let's say, Asiyas HaMenorah, which you have in Perek Gimel of Beis HaBechir. Let me start off, before we go to the Aron, let's start off with the Rambam's description of mitzvahs Asiyas HaMenorah. Listen to Rambam, the way the Rambam introduces the menorah. HaMenorah, Mifureshes Tzurasa B'Torah, the menorah is described with its structure in the Torah. Va'arba, Givim, Vishnei Kaftor, Vishnei Prachim. If only we knew exactly what those things are. It's asking Rav Nevinsel, what are his hasagas against the Machon HaMikdash's menorah that's sitting on the way down to the Kotel? So first of all, he said to me, he thinks, like most Rishonim, supposed to be on an angle. The branches are on an angle, not circular. And then he started telling me about the Gvim and the Prachim, and I got totally lost. I can't even read Rashi in Parshas Truma. Forget about, you know, to handle exactly what all the details are. But the Rambam describes what are the Gvim and the Prachim and so on. Okay. Perek Dalid in Hilchos Beis HaBechira. This is the first time, if I'm not mistaken, that the Rambam mentions the Aron. The Rambam describes in Perek Dal in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Evan Hoysa B'Kodesh HaKadoshim B'Maravo She'Oleh Hoya Aron HaMunach. There was an Evan there, who were funnets in Senes Man, U'mate Aron. And then the Rambam tells us a history lesson. U'be'eish She'bono Shlomo Es HaBayis V'Yodeh HaShisofu Licharei Bona Bo Makom Lignoz Bo Aron. And when Shlomo knew that the Bayis was going to be destroyed, when he built it, he knew it was going to be destroyed. He already built caverns underneath, which is the concern today of what's going on underneath the Makom HaMikdash. There are subterranean caverns on Har HaBayis, and the Aron was Nignaz over there. The Aron was Nignaz there. Now we know that every time the Rambam adds something historical, it's striking in the Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam never deviates from writing a halacha sefer. So why does the Rambam give us this historical introduction? That's part A of Tzarech Iyun number 6. And part B of Tzarech Iyun number 6, it's, and this is the way the Rambam introduces the Aron? This is the way to introduce Aron? With this historical lesson? What's the Rambam bringing out? Finally, the last Tzarech Iyun on the Rambam is the Rambam in Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, in Hilchas Klei HaMikdash. In Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, in Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam writes that the mitzvah to carry, for B'nai Kas, to carry the Kalim, Rambam describes the mitzvah as the Aron, to carry the Aron. The Minchas Chinuch, in Mitzvah Shin Ayin Tes, asks, just the Aron? Mitzvah just to carry the Aron? What about all the other Kalim? So we have five Tzarechiyuns. Seven Tzarechiyuns. Why the Arichus? Why is the Aron first in Truma? What's the godless of Chachma, Bina, and Das? Why does the Rambam not mention the Aron at all in Mitzvah? What exactly is the machlokis between the Ramban and the Rambam in terms of their discussion whether there's a separate mitzvah of the Aron? Why does the Rambam introduce the historical phenomenon Perek Dalet Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and that's mamish the introduction of the Aron? And finally, why does the Rambam emphasize Dafka, the carrying of the Aron, as being the mitzvah of carrying the Kalim? L'chora it applies to all Kalim. Now the answer to all of these questions and the gateway to some basic applications of this in halacha is brought out beautifully. Rav Schechter, I heard he spoke about this also on Friday night. Rav Schechter referred to this on Friday night. Some of these yusodos, but here we threw in some other tzarachiyuns that are not discussed in the sefer. It lies in the Ramban's opening in Parshas Truma. The Ramban in the beginning of Parshas Truma writes the following lashon. Once we have this lashon of the Ramban down, it's not complicated. Once we have it down, so then all of the seven tzarachiyuns begin to fall away. The Ramban writes in his Akdama, V'hine, Ikar hachafes b'mishkan, the whole tafkid of the Mishkan, Mako menuchas hashchina shu aram kemo shamar v'nati v'chasham v'dibarti itchami al kaparis al kain hikdim aaron v'kaparis bekan ki hu muktam b'mala v'samach l'aaron hashulchan v'amenor shem kelim kemahu. So Ramban says the ikar tafkid for the Mishkan was hashuras hashchina, and the hashuras hashchina only came about through the aaron, and that's what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "Vno'ati etchame al hakapores." So, the hashras hashchina is dependent on the aron, and afterwards we have all the kerub. So, let's go back to the tzarich yun of why it is that in parshas truma we start off with the aron. According to this Ramban, it's now understood. The hagdaras migdash, the definition of migdash, is really the aron. Without the Aron, there's no Mikdash. Because the Hashras Hashchina of the Mikdash is dependent on the Aron. Without the Aron, there's no Hashras Hashchina. If that's so, then we begin to understand all the other anomalies in the Ramban. The Rav pointed out the reason why the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira and Perek Dalet started out with the history is because the Rambam was telling us not that you should know that there was an Aron during in Bayis Sheni in the subterraneous caverns. No, that's not what the Rambam was bringing out. The Rambam was telling us a Yisod Gadol, the same Yisod. And here we're going to see tonight the Rambam and the Ramban really are not cholek on very much at all. The Rambam was emphasizing that the second Bayis had Kedusha only because the Aron was there. And if the Aron would not have been there, there wouldn't have been Kedusha Samigdash. And that's why the Rambam introduces the halachos of Aron with that. Menorah doesn't have that status. So immediately when you start the menorah, you talk about the construction of the menorah. However, when we're talking about the definition of Migdash, so then the Rambam needs to tell us this historical fact that they first had the Aron for the Bayis Sheni. Because if they wouldn't have, then there would be nothing, there'd be nothing to talk about. What about the Tzarech Yun and the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos? If the Rambam holds that the whole din is included in one mitzvah, mitzvah chav, so why did the Rambam not mention Aron at all? The answer is that the Rambam might have felt that you can't put Aron in the list of all the other kelim. Because the Aron is not another kli. The Aron is not another kli. And he agrees with the Ramban, it's not another kli. All the other kelim serve a purpose. So that's all included in the general rule of Migdash. The Aron, Chazal say, the Aron is not Tofes Makom. The Aron's not Tofes Makom. The Aron doesn't take up any place. If the Aron doesn't take up any place, so the Aron itself is not a function of a as a does not function as a tool, but rather the Aron is the definition of Mikdash. It is the place of Hashuras Shechina. So that's why the Rambam doesn't mention it. The Ramban agrees with the Yesod that the Ramban himself wrote Al HaTorah. But the Ramban says there are two mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of creating Hashuras Shechina, and the other mitzvah is constructing the Bayis. But both the Rambam and the Ramban agree that Hashuras Shechina is dependent entirely on menorah. Now let's go back to the Minchas Chinuch question. Minchas Chinuch asked, why did the Rambam say there is a mitzvah al kasef yisau? Why does the Rambam say there's a mitzvah al kasef yisau dafka on the Aron? Doesn't apply to all kelim. So, probably the most classic masa umatan that we have between Rabbi Yosher ber Soloveitchik and the Briska Rav is on this question. It's printed in the Igros HaGrid, and that's not so classic, because we have a lot of Torah in the Igros HaGrid. But what makes it a classic is that the response of what the Rav wrote to the Briska Rav, which we're going to say over, is printed in the back of the Chedushei HaGriz. It's a letter in the back of the Kedusha HaGriz. We're not going to say over everything that the Brisker Rav says over there. And there the Brisker Rav is Mishabeach, this Mahalat, which probably germinated in this whole, into the whole Mahalat that we were saying now, the Rav's Mahalat of the Rambam in Perek Dal Hilchos Beis Avichir. And there the Rav said, he wrote to the Brisker Rav the following Teretz HaMinchas Chinuch Kasher. He said, Menorah and Mizbeach are all kalim only in the context of Mikdash. Only in the context of Mikdash are they considered kalim. If they're outside of the Mikdash, their status as a kli falls away. However, when it comes to the Aron, so the Aron has an identity even outside of the context of Mishnah. Why? According to our Mahalach, it's beautiful. The Aron itself is Ma'adim Mitchome Ala Kaporas. The Aron itself represents Ashras HaShchinah. What is it about the Aron that represents Ashras HaShchinah? We're about to get to in a moment. But the Aron represents Ashras HaShchinah. In contrast to the Menorah and the Mizbeach, those are all Kalim that are dependent on Mishkan. So therefore, when it comes to the Halachos of Akasef Yisau, so Akasef Yisau is only on those things, obviously you need a brisker perspective over here, but only on those things that have a shame kli. If it doesn't have a shame kli, then in such a case it falls away as a kiyum of carrying the kalim of the Mikdash. Here, we don't mean kalim in the other way we've used kalim before. Carrying the components of the Mishkan. But when it comes to Aron, the Aron never loses its identity. And the raya is that the Aron goes out l'melchama. So therefore, the Rambam says the mitzvah daft in regards to Aron and not in regards to all other kelim. There are two more tzarachiyuns that we have to come back to. One tzarachiyun is why we have the long arichus of the parshios. And number two, what exactly is the chokhma bina and das of the tzalam? But outside of that, stop me if I'm wrong, I think we've answered all of our tzarachiyuns from above. Now this yisod that the Aron defines the Mikdash, both according to the Ramban and according to the Ramban, that yisod has very, very important hashlachos, has very, very important implications. The Ran writes in Megillah, in Perek B'nei Ovir, it's the fourth perek that we have in Megillah, in the Rif, it's actually the third perek. The Ran writes that the reason why today we have a status of Mikdash that cannot be altered by simply deciding that you're not going to use a Beis HaKnesses is because it's modeled after the din of Mikdash of the Beis HaMikdash and of the Mishnah. What's the Ran talking about? The Ran's talking about the following halacha. Let's say a few Balabatim decide that they're going to sell a shul. They're going to sell their shul. The halacha is not so fast. Even if you sell the shul, the kedusha isn't necessarily paka. Beis HaKnesses before Bana has kedusha. Even if Beis HaKnesses in Korban still has kedusha. Why? Isn't there a rule that we have, and that is, tashmishei mitzvah are nigzrakim, and tashmishei kedusha are nignazim? So why is it that when it comes to a Beis HaKnesses, what is a Beis HaKnesses? If you had to wake me up in the middle of the night and ask me, what is the status of a Beis HaKnesses, I would have thought, al regel achas, that a Beis HaKnesses is tashmishei mitzvah, that what? That people sit and learn there. So that just like the halacha is mikra dedina, if you have tzitzis that are no longer usable, they could be thrown away. So too, when it comes to a Beis HaKnesses, yet the halacha is, that it's not pakka, it doesn't fall away. The only way you could be mafkiya, it says the Ran, if it's sold by Zayin Tovir b'maimir ansheir, which the Ran says is similar to Pidyon. Very interesting Ran. The Ramban disagrees. We're going to focus on the Ran's Shita. The Ran says that that only way it falls away is with Pidyon. When Zayin Tovir b'maimir ansheir, it's akin to a type of Pidyon. Now the way many of my Rabbeim understood what the Ran was saying is that the Ran is saying that a Beis HaKnesses has a din of Tashmishei Kedusha. Once it has a din of tashmishei kedusha, then even if it's no longer used, the halacha is nignazim. And the only way it could be mafkia it is through pidyon. But where's tashmishei kedusha? Where in the walls of the shul do we see that there's tashmishei kedusha? So Rav Shechter introduces a fascinating idea, and that is that once we're mekabel the yisod that we saw from the previous generation, that the halacha of Migdash is defined by the Aron, and Aron is what gives Kedushas HaMishkan. So maybe we could go a step further and say, well, what is it about the Aron? The answer is the Kedushas HaLuchos and the Kedushas Sefer Torah. That is what creates Hashuras HaShchina. That's what creates Hashuras HaShchina. Oh, if that's so, then every Beis HaKnesses, every Beis Medrash, has an Aron, and by definition then, the status would be of Tashmishei Kedusha. Again, it's a big Kiddush, because I generally understand Tashmishei Kedusha as those things that are serving a Davar Shevei Kedusha. So, if this is holding a Sefer Torah, so then in such a case, it has a din of Tashmishei Kedusha. If this box is holding a Sefer Torah. But if it's just an area that surrounds an Aron, to say that all of it assumes the identity of Tashmishei Kedusha is a little bit of a chiddush. But it seems, you could argue that this is what the Ran is saying. If that's so, then there are a lot of fascinating hashlachos, I'll just mention a few of them quickly, that come out of this. The most exciting application of this is, when do you need a mechitza and when don't you need a mechitza for davening? So if you say the halachos of Beis HaKnesses are modeled after Migdash, and it could very well be the whole Mechayiv of Mechitza comes from the Din Migdash. And if you have a Migdash, so then in such a case, you need a Mechitza. But what happens if you're away for Shabbos, and you're not davening in a shul, and the men and women are mamish separate? So then there's room to argue, this is Lahalacha v'lo l'maisa, then there's room to argue that the Mechayiv of Mechitza doesn't exist, because at the end of the day, Mechitza we learn out from the Migdash itself. And now, what's the definition of a Migdash? The definition of a Migdash is not Stam Arum. The definition of Migdash is a place where the Aron is. So now we're being Mechadish, a new din of Beis HaKnesses. It's not just a place that was set aside to daven for a Shabbos. If it has an Aron, then it's Mechayiv of Mechitza. If it doesn't have an Aron, so then in such a case, there isn't requirement for mechitza. The two places I'm discussing this, both places, the next hashlacha actually applies in a radical way. The Tosefta in Megillah in Gimel Yudalid says, "Ein poskim batei knisios elo mizrach shekeimatzinu beheichal shahaya pesa pasuach lemizrach." When it came to the Heichal, when it came to the Kodshei Kedashim, so there, the Kodshei Kedashim was in the west, the opening was from the east. So that means that L'chatchila, you're supposed to have the opening of the shul opposite where the Aron is standing, both in the Tivarye and in Gruas. It's not that way, right? It's on the side. So it happens to be that recorded that when the Rav mentioned his Tosefta, so he was in the Mariah Shul, and in the Mariah Shul also they had the doors opening on the side, not directly behind, opposite the Heichal, and he turned to the congregation and he said, "Which way do you turn by L'chadodi, by Boi Shalom?" So they said, "You turn backwards." He said, "No, you should turn to the doors." The whole reason they turn backwards is because the doors are supposed to be in the back. But the whole Bayi V'Shalom is turning towards the doors. So another hashlacha of this, of once we say that the din of Migdash is precipitated by Aron, so then we see the Tosefta then says, so that the back should have the doors, just like we had it in the Heichal. What? Right, but we're going within that shita. The Tshuva of the Chassam Sofer is a well-known polemic where the Chassam Sofer writes that the bima is supposed to be in the middle. And the official reason that Sam Sofer gives is because the Mizbeach was the Merkaz as well. So we see again that the Merkaz is Koveya. What would emerge then from this also is that the Chatchila for a Beis HaKnesses should have an Aron in the Heichal. And could very well be, Ad Kedeka, that if you don't have the Aron in the Heichal, so then in such a case, it would be Ma'akev. Something that the Rav quoted that was very, very fascinating based on this Mahalach as well. If you say that the Halachas of the Beis HaKnesses modeled after Migdash, he noticed, when he was in Berlin, he noticed that the women used to bow Kriya on Yom HaKippurim just like the men. And in Lithuania, he said the minug wasn't. They didn't bow Kriya. So he tried to understand what was the minug, why was it that in Litha the minug was not to be Koreo Mishaka, why was it the women didn't? So the halacha, if you read the Mishnayos, the Pashtus is that only the men were Koreo. Those people were in the Azara. But the women who were further back were not Koreo Mishaka. So why is it that they weren't? That's a separate discussion. But once you say that the halacha is that we're modeled after the Din Migdash, so then in such a case, the Ezras Nashim has a different din. Finally, the last hashlacha is Rabbi Akiva Eger's Chomer. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that in a chatzar of Beis HaKnesses, you shouldn't plant trees. Why shouldn't you plant trees in the chatzar of Beis HaKnesses? Because there's halacha losita al-chashera, but you're not allowed to plant the she'era in the Migdash. So Rabbi Akiva Eger took it so seriously that he said that even in the chatzar of Beis HaKnesses, that also would apply. This yisod that we see with six hashlachos that we just gave, I mentioned to Rav Nenitzal. Rav Nenitzal asked me a kasha on this whole approach. I don't know if this kasha is impossible to answer. Rav Nenitzal thought that this hagdara, to say that the hagdara of Migdash in the Beis HaMikdash is defined by Aron, and therefore our Din Beis HaKnesses is defined by Aron, he pointed out that Rashi in Sukkah on the Tezayin on the Beis seems to describe, and archaeological evidence has also borne this out, seems to describe something a little bit different. Rashi in Sukkah on Tezayin on the Beis describes making an Eruv to be able to carry a Sefer Torah from one place to the next. And Rashi is describing why you need to carry an Aron from one place to another. You know, they say about carrying a Sefer Torah in the Eruv. So that one time, on a vacation, the Brisker Rav was vacationing, I think it was with the Stolener Rebbe. They were davening the same minyan on Shabbos, and the Stolener Rebbe's Aliyah, the son of Shishi, the Stolener Rebbe's Aliyah, the Stolener Rebbe noticed the mistake in the Sefer Torah, but he didn't want to passel. He didn't want to passel with the Brisker Rav around. So they called over the Brisker Rav and they looked in the Sefer Torah, and the Brisker Rav went like this, to go weiter. So afterwards, the Rebbe said to the Rav of Brisk, he said, I don't understand. Normally you're known as a big Gachmer. This was a pretty bad one. How come you let the Bal Kore go further? So Brisk Rav said to him, you're right. It is possible, but there is a Shitas Haram. The Rambam is very, very makel in regards to what is going to be Ma'akeh for Kriya Satora. So this Sefer Torah was possible according to Rav Rishonim. But according to Rambam, it was kosher. But what was going to happen? If I would passel it, they would immediately bring the Sefer Torah from somewhere else. And the Eruv was passel according to everybody. That was what the Brisker Rav said. The Stolener Rebbe, that's why he sent them to go further. So Rashi in Sukkah on Tezayin on the Beis describes an Eruv that would be even kosher according to the Brisker Rav. And he describes why they were carrying the Sefer Torah. Not that the Sefer Torah became passel because the Stolener Rebbe made it passel, but rather, Rashi describes that they had a separate room. They had a separate room where they left the Sefer Torah. So Nevin Salin is Gaonis, said to me, you see, that Rashi calls it a Beis HaKnesses, and there was no Aron, that was his assumption, there's no Aron over there in the Beis HaKnesses, and they put the Aron somewhere else. And I remember one time when we were on a tiul in Yeshiva, where we came to an ancient Beis HaKnesses, we noticed that there was no place for the Aron. And it seemed that there was this, as Rashi describes here in Sukkah, in those days they had a separate safe, and they didn't have a safe mamish, they couldn't leave something. So what they had was this very solid room where they left the Kisvei Kodesh and where they left the Sifrei Torah. So unless you say that there was a second Aron, which Rashi doesn't make any mention of, the Pashtusas, and this is the way Rav Nevin Zalman understood Rashi, is they would say, Vayhi bin Sayy Aron, like at the Kotel. And then someone would go to the room next door, he would bring the Sefer Torah, and afterwards they would bring it back, not like today where the Aron is part. If that's so, if that Havana is so, L'chura, the Beis HaKnesses is Kedusha, which of course the Beis HaKnesses already had, that Beis HaKnesses had Kedusha, L'chura, the Beis HaKnesses Kedusha is not dependent on the Aron. So this is a Tzarech Iyun Gadol on the Mahalath. There might be ways to be Miyashe, maybe you could say that as long as there's an area that's Miyuchad, like a bima, that's miyuchad for the Sefer Torah, so then already everything becomes included in Tashmishei Kedusha. But just to say, carte blanche, that the definition of Migdash is dependent on the Aron, this is Rav Nevin Sal's Hasak. Okay. Ad kan Adivrei Halacha. We are still left with two things that we need to understand. And that is, why does the Torah give us so much arichus for these parshios? And what exactly is the Chachma Bina Das of the Tzalach? Both the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichron Levracha and Rav Rosenzweig Shlita suggested the same understanding in slightly different terms. And that is the following. The Chabad, the Chachma Bina Das of the Tzalach, is the ability to take what the Lubavitcher Rebbe described, the Migdash Ila'a, that lofty Migdash that exists in Shemayim. In Kabbalah we know there are two Migdashos, one that is the Migdash Ila'a, and then there's the Migdash Kata'a. And be able to take that ethereal Migdash and practically build it in this world. And if you will, just for 10 seconds, with all the shortcomings in Lubavitch that exist today, and maybe always existed, one has to be amazed by their tremendous koach, and to be able to take the most obscure Kabbalistic ideas, of all the Hasidus, Lubavitch is kemat the most Kabbalistic, Satmar is not close. Satmar is much more practical, is much less esoteric than Chabad, and yet the whole Tafkid is not just about Kiru, about being Mekari Yidin. But it's about this idea of taking this Migdash Ilah, these ethereal concepts, and bring it to Hawaii, and Las Vegas, and Alaska. And that's part of being the Kadesh to Tachtonim. That's behind the whole essence of Chachma, Bina, and Das. To be able to take these components of Kedusha and to bring them to every corner of the world. Of course, that's not only a Kabbalistic concept. It's a practical concept as well for us. And that is that every single one of us has a hischaivus to be able to take those ideals that we learned in the Beis Medrash and find a way, bechachma, bina, and das, to be able to bring it down to the real world. And that's the arichus, says the Rebbe Lubavitch Zichron Levracha. He says, that's why we have all the repetition of Bezalel. Because the Ikar Avodah is to be able to take those ideals and make them practical and bring them down to the real world. Maybe we could be Moseh, to Lubavitcher Rebbe, al pi his derech. That's why in Parshas Truma, we have first the Aron without any mechitzas. But in Bezalel's construction, we first have the mechitzas. In the Omeol Yonim, in the Migdash Ila'a, everything is Vayfanim, Srafim, Chayis HaKadosh, there's nothing there that requires a mechitza. However, in the Migdash Tita, in this real world, there's Kedusha and there's Tumah. And of course, Aaron can't be sitting out in the street. In Yiddish, there's a very, very strong expression, the gas, the street. The Aaron litnish in the gas, the Aaron doesn't belong in the street. That's a stira to the whole mahus of Aaron. So first you need the mechitzas, and then you put the Aaron inside. Practical musr that emerges from that. The practical application of this is that there are times that even if one would like to take everything from the ilah, you have to realize that there are appropriate places to put from the mikdash ilah, and there are places that are inappropriate. There are boundaries. A classic Shana Aleph mistake is the Talmud who comes home and brings things to his parents that are not realistic. He takes that Mikdash Ilah from Yeshiva and he tries to thrust it into a makom that's not shayach. Timing is everything. Context is everything. And the Chochma Bina Adas of Betzalel, and that is the ultimate Madrega, is to be able to take these ideals of Ilah and put them appropriately in the Tatah. So what does the Mikdash now represent, says the Nesiv Shalom? The Mikdash, according to this Mahalach, we take what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is saying a step further, and that's what the Nesiv Shalom says in the beginning of Parshas Truma. Mikdash represents the chibur between the concepts of Ila'a and making them shaykh in Tatah. One of my Talmidim was Ma'orer very beautifully, Arielay Shapiro, was Ma'orer that there are three components of worldly existence that characterize the human experience that are defied in Mikdash. What are those three components of human experience? Time, place, and being. Lechem Aponim, the Mishnah novel says in Perikei, Lechem Aponim never became moldy. L'malam in Azman, there are times that the Mikdash was L'malam in Azman. Why? Because up there, it's L'malam in Azman. Makom, as we spoke about before, the Aron itself is not Tofes Makom. The Aron's not even a Kli, it's above Kli. The Aron's not Tofes Makom. And finally, the Gemara, the Medrash, excuse me, on the pasuk v'chol adam lo yieh ba'ol al moed, the Vayikra Rabbah says in that pasuk v'chol adam lo yieh ba'ol al moed, when the Kohen Gadol goes in b'kashay kadashim on Yom HaKippurim, the Medrash says, and there was no person in the ol moed. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol became a malach. His guf was paka. Whatever exactly that means, but clearly there is a bechina in the Migdash that guf doesn't exist. So now, Rabosai, our next tafkid in our own avoda, our next tafkid in taking that ilah to the tata is number one, to choose our spots, but then to realize also that in creating a mikdash, in our own bias, and in our own growth, we have to realize that there are times that we are demanded to be l'malo min azman, l'malo min aguf, and l'malo min makom. Oh, what does that mean? So let's start with the guf. The highest madrega, of course, is Rav Aryeh Levine. When he went to the doctor, Rav Aryeh Levine, with his wife, he said, "Doctor, our foot hurts." That relates to what we spoke about 2 weeks ago. Mechabda yoser migufa. That her guf becomes more important than your own, to the point that you surrender your status to the guf. But every single one of us has to work. Al pi medregaso, bein adam lechavero, bein ish leishto, to be able to at times surrender our guf. And I would like to argue that in many ways what we have to do day in and day out might be even harder than having the perspective of Rabbi Yehuda Levine to say that our leg hurts. But there are times that we're responsible to do that. Slowly, maturely, we fail, we're going to fall. But Lamaisa, what's an example of that? It's a very simple example. In Gruss, maybe you're not experiencing that. Maybe next year you'll experience it. And that is, you come home and you're hungry. Next year you might come home hungry. This year...
Don't give us a
So, that's an example of where you. It's very, very easy when we're hungry. This is so basic. I know it sounds childish, but on both sides, the basic and childish things are things that we need to be mechazik as well. And that is that when we are hungry, we get irritable. So I have a simple eitzah for you, which I sometimes follow, and then sometimes I fall, and sometimes I succeed, even when I'm in the matzav of the challenge. And that is, first of all, there's no mitzvah to come home absolutely hungry. There's no mitzvah to come home hungry. And that is that if you start commuting, carry something in your bag that you're able to eat before you come into the house. So that, if you were expecting to have supper and five other things happened for your wife and supper isn't necessarily ready, or it was your turn to cook supper and you forgot to, whatever it might be, at the end of the day, you're more prepared. And finally, and when all systems fail, the Hainu, every plan didn't work, Mechab, this is the definition, Mechab de Yosemi Gufa. That's part of the Avoda, to be Lamala Mea Guf. Number two, Lamala Mea Zman. The Chiyuv that our bias has to be Lamala Mea Zman. That means that we're supposed to be above time. There are times that we have a Chiyuv also in creating that Mikdash Tata in being above Zman. We, Baruch Hashem, lead hectic lives. And not every moment are we free to speak to others, and not every moment are we free to speak to our wives. But if your wife wants to speak to you about something, then she deserves, unless you mamish can't because you're rushing out, but let's say you had set aside, you set aside time, you were going to work on this paper, and she comes over and she wants to talk to you about it. And you sense that this is going to go on forever. And you really have, this paper is due tomorrow. Lania's daiti, and I didn't discuss this with any great people, Lania's daiti, a wife deserves 5 minutes unless there's something extremely important that must be done now, or you must leave. But she deserves 5 minutes if there's something on your mind. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to drop everything. We're talking about 5 minutes. If there's something on her mind, you could say, honey, I have 5 minutes, I have 10 minutes, I have 6 minutes, I have 8 minutes. Could we talk more about it later? But once she sees that that's something that's really, really, that what she says is really, really important, then you're living l'mal me'az man. And that is that everything stops. That everything stops when there's something that's on your mind, when there's something on her mind. You're not mechuyev to have a long conversation every time she wants to speak. But she deserves the fact that she is l'malam min hazman. That your bias, there are certain things l'malam hazman, which means that the schedule mandates that you write the paper from 8 to 9. No, you're now going to have to write the paper from 8:07 to 9 o'clock. And then make up, we're going to talk about this in more detail later on. There's nothing wrong with saying, honey, now I don't have a lot of time to talk, but to say that now I am so busy that to the point where you're not being ma'arich, her is living in Zman, and the chiyuv of a bayis is to live l'malam min hazman. And finally, and Rabosai, this is the most important, to be memale mima'ale mimakum, like the Aron's not tofes makum. That was the subject of tonight. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph says something extremely, extremely striking. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, when there's peace between husband and wife, they can manage to sleep on a bed that's 1 inch wide. B'chas v'chalila, when there's k'tata, then no bed in the world, no house in the world will be able to fit them. And you know what the Gemara's raya is? The aron. V'no'alti yitcha me'al hakaporas. The Gemara says, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came me'al hakaporas, The Aron, the Kaporis is not Tofes Makom. So this is the linchpin of what we're bringing out, that the Aron itself corresponds to the idea of taking the Ilah and the Tatah in our own bias. And that means that a true house that really, really works, the husband and the wife, neither of them are Tofes Makom. We'll have to qualify that a little bit, but the husband and wife, none of them are Tofes Makom. You know, they say a story that there was once, maybe a joke, there was once a couple that had been living 60 years together. She was already well into her 70s, and when they got married 60 years before, the husband had asked the wife, he said to her, "I'm willing to share everything with you, but there's one drawer, this is it, this is the drawer, it's locked. There's one drawer that anything you do, I request that you never open it." And that was from day one of their marriage, and it was in their bedroom, and every night she would go to sleep and she always wondered what was in that drawer. She never touched it. Never touched the drawer. Everything they shared for 60 years, night in, night out. One night in her 70s, she couldn't contain herself anymore. What is inside that drawer? And she had held herself back for 60 years, but she couldn't hold back anymore. And she threw it open. And the drawer opened up, and what was inside was 7 eggs and $2 bills. This is what her husband had been holding back from her for 60 years. So her husband came home that night after marriage, and she said to her, "Honey, I'm so embarrassed. What happened?" He said, I finally did it. "What'd you do?" "I opened the drawer." His face turned to ashen. He says, "Okay." She says, "What's going on? Eggs and a couple dollar bills? I don't want to talk about it. Please, please tell me what's going on." "I don't want to talk about it." She begs and begs and begs him. He says, "Fine, I'll tell you." He says, "Every time when we got married, I loved you very much, and I still do," he claims. But I knew that I had a tendency sometimes not to tell the truth. But I wanted to always be truthful to you. So every time I told myself, if I fib, I'm going to take a dollar and put it inside the drawer." The woman goes to sleep. She's tossing and turning. There were $2 in the drawer after 60 years of marriage. She begins to think of all the times that she didn't exactly tell the truth. She lied a little. It was a white lie. She begins to count. And then she can't take it anymore. She wakes her husband up in the middle of the night and she says, My dear, I feel so terrible. Only $2 inside." Then she stops and she says, "And what were the 6 eggs?" He said, "Well, every time we reached $100, so then I put an egg inside. I redeemed it with an egg." Now, the notion that a person has a place where which is entirely set aside only for himself, and his wife is not allowed to tread, is a very, very, very dangerous bechina. It's a very, very dangerous bechina. And every single one of us, and this is part of being mechabda yosem migufa, every single one of us has to be able to realize that our bias is above space. When we have roommates, each one has his corner, each one has his space. And for some of us, it's easier than others. But a wife should not feel that her husband wants that he has his corner, and God forbid she goes into that corner. Why is that so important? Because at the end of the day, if there is no sense that every part of the house is a place that we share, then ultimately there's a chisaron in that ichud. There was a time that I was assistant rabbi in a community where there was a tendency for couples to get married very late in age. And I was talking to one of the fellow rabbanim who was much more prominent in the community, who actually since then has made aliyah also. And he told me that there is he struggles with the following phenomenon in his shul. He has in his shul many couples who've gotten married later in life. And when they get married, he's a successful doctor, she's a successful lawyer, in their late 30s, he says, they never really join together. There's no chibur. Why? Because he has his bank account, she has her bank account, he has his place in the Hamptons, and she has the apartment wherever, fulfill in the neighborhood, wherever it might be. The moment in which we set up places in which we ourselves haven't become entirely one, where we share everything, so that moment is a moment in which we've begun to compromise on being lemala me'makom. And that's something we have to think about in very, very, very practical terms. Is there a place where your wife feels threatened to tread upon, whether it be an emotional place or a physical place? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, to be mekadesh the ilah, to be mekadesh the tata, to be able to be mechaber those olamos, and to be zocha that we should be mekayim, the mechayev of Mor Migdash, and ultimately that our batim should be batim dar l'malam e'azman, l'malam e'amokom, and l'malam e'aguf.
Are you saying that more lounge is a... No.
Yeah.